The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, August 20th, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, the New York Times is criticizing the lack of information coming out of China over its blue ear outbreak. Also, an international biotechnology conference is meeting this week in St. Louis. I'll have these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will be by with a report on the search for genetic code that could keep corn and soybeans yielding under increased CO2 and ozone levels. And the folks from Chesapeake Energy will give us the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Monday afternoon, prices settled like this. September wheat at 6.49 and a half, down one. This the Kansas City variety. December at 6.65, up one. At the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat 6.75, up three. December 6.91, up 2.5. March 6.89, up 4.75. September corn 3.31 and 3/4, up 3.25. December 3.48 and 3/4, up 3. March 3.64, up 4. December of next year 3.92 and 3/4, up 2. September soybeans 8.11 and 3/4, up 1/4. November 8.27 and 1/4, down 1/2. January 8.41 and 1/2, down 1 and 1/4. November of next year 8.47 and 1/2, down 1 and 1/2. September soybean meal 220.40, up 160. September soybean oil 34.99, down 40. At the Merck, August feeders 116.45, up 2.5. August live cattle 91.95, unchanged on the day. October lean hogs 67.10, down 17.5, and August bellies 71.25, down 185. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I guess it is afternoon. What did you make, generally speaking, before we get into particulars about the day?
Well, sort of a steady day. I was surprised the market held together the way it has with some rain around. That could be read both ways, bullish or bearish, according to what area you're in and what type of effect it's having. But our main concern is the outside or liquidity of the whole marketplace. Last week, the market sector, as from looking at a broad view, took a pretty good hit, and there's some liquidity concerns still out there. So sort of wait and see if the other shoe drops or not. Lowering the discount rate by 0.5 helped quite a bit. Needs to be lowered another 0.5. To keep the firms in business, per se. So hopefully here that we see some stabilization to give some investor confidence to come back into the marketplace.
Well, you were suggesting this morning that maybe, just maybe, we were in the eye of the hurricane as opposed to the hurricane going through. Are you still that mindset?
Yes. There's some problems out there, and there is, you know, being an ostrich and putting your head down the ground is not going to make it go away. The hurricane, that's a good example, good picture. It's going to take some time in here to bring this confidence back in. There were some major people hurt there last week, and you get hurt like that, it takes a while to heal, and the people that got hurt are the ones that's been supporting the future side clear across the board. And it's going to take some time for that to come back.
You know, if you looked at the futures trading report from Friday, you got a little bit of a sense that maybe the indexes are beginning to wake up and pull out.
Well, they've been in that mode for some time, because when you look at the huge positions they've had, you just cannot exit that many contracts in one day. It's a several-day process, but you're one that studies volume and open interest. We've been in a decline in open interest with the market going down, which indicates liquidation, and there was fairly aggressive liquidation last week. You know, hopefully we can get this liquidation out of the way and restore confidence, because you know, without these funds pushing the market up and down, it's going to slow the bring down the volatility and not offer traders and producers that opportunity that we've seen here in the last year.
Trade likes to look at new numbers and new fundamentals and begin to crunch those in. We're getting some numbers beginning to trickle in from the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour. It kicked off today in Ohio and South Dakota. What can you tell us?
Well, the reports probably are going to continue to come in mixture as they go through the fields. The main ones we'd be able to look at tonight to give us more of an idea what they're looking at. But as far as Ohio goes, in north central Ohio, average yield was like 128.8 bushels on corn. A year ago, it was 131. The year average for the tour is 127. So not as good as last year, but on average. You get in the northwestern part of Ohio, 86 bushels the acre. You know, that's down from 133 last year and 137 average. So, you know, as they average this all out tonight, it'll be interesting to see what they come up with. It says that Ohio is very variable according to where you go. As far as the pod counts, sort of a mixed bag there, too. So that's sort of the Ohio report that we came up with. South Dakota, the main theme there was that the ears are not filling out all the way, and the kernel rose around 12 to 14. And that's what we've been hearing all along here, that the rows around is just not there. Some mixed yields there, anywhere from 65 bushel to 165 bushels. In the early stage of the route, they came up with a 94 bushel yield versus the 3-year average, 110. So corn's going to be highly mixed there, and we're going to see some different yields come out of there. But the main theme in the beans was sort of an above average yield trend there with higher bean bod counts than a year ago.
And that sort of makes sense if you match it up with the weather that we've been seeing.
Yeah, you know, you can pretty well look at the weather map and follow the weather and get an idea of what type of yield and what type of problems have occurred around. But these are sort of the so-called fringe areas, so the trade's going to pay closer attention as this afternoon and tomorrow as we move into more of the heart of the Corn Belt.
Hmm. What do you look at then for the balance of the week in the trade here? Do you look at, I don't know, corn sort of a sideways affair pending further results from this tour?
Well, if we can hear some smaller yields and maybe a little demand show up, maybe December corn futures can push up in this 350, 352 area. We feel that's going to sort of be the upper end of the range there. These November beans have a huge chart gap here to fill an upside if they can muster some momentum and get above this 830 level. However, though, we feel that the momentum's to the downside in here and risk is to the downside here over the next few days.
So more likely to break 795 than fill the upside gap, in your opinion?
Well, you know, see what happens here. See if we can't try to muster some recovery here to fill the gaps we left to the downside there on Thursday if those sharply lower openings. If we fail to get up in that gap area, we could go down and test the lows that were made on Thursday.
Turn your attention to the wheat market. What are you seeing there?
Well, Egypt's back in the market here again for, you know, the standard quote of 55,000, 60,000 tons of wheat. We'll see if they come forward here and actually buy something and who's going to be able to sell wheat to Egypt, see who the buyers are that get the bulk of this business. Be interesting to see how that unfolds here. Wheat sort of in a holding pattern here. When you look at the big picture in wheat, we're still looking at world tight stocks, the tightest in over 30 years. Same theme as before, a big demand and a little less production from all the major countries. But once again, wheat as a trading vehicle is probably going to have a rough time here if we don't resume this trader's confidence to re-enter the market.
And your latest piece of advice, given all you know, generally speaking, I know everybody's different, we qualify that, but generally speaking for traders.
From a trader's point of view, these hourly charts have been working quite well. When you look at the hourly chart and use a 9 to 18 parameter on it, I would recommend following that for a while. That's been working good for the from the trading point of view. Longer term, you know, stick to your trading program. Don't try to vary off it.
And where are you positioned just on your hedges?
Well, you got to be somewhat cautious right here at this price level. You can't get emotional in this type of marketplace. You know, you got to be pretty well sticking to your original plan, which is remaining short with hedges, keep the puts in place, and look for some type of seasonal low here in the futures in the next few days.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grain Field Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Ed Kieser tells us a flash flood watch is in effect for portions of central Illinois, including Galesburg, Peoria, and Bloomington Normal through late tonight. A flash flood watch in effect for extreme northwestern Illinois until Tuesday morning, and a flood watch in effect for much of northern Indiana until late tonight. Tonight, mostly cloudy and muggy, with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows from 66 to 74. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and hazy sunshine and humid, with scattered showers and thunderstorms, and highs ranging from 83 in northeastern Indiana to 95 degrees in southwestern Illinois. In agricultural news, a New York Times editorial is taking China to task for not allowing outside agencies to confirm what the PRC says is a blue ear outbreak in its swine population. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says the swine disease situation in China is serious, but no one knows for sure how many of China's 500 million pigs are infected. PRC government officials put the number last month at 165,000, but few believe that figure in a nation which, on average, loses 25 million pigs to disease each year. Blue ear generally sickens but does not kill animals. Food experts say they need more information to prevent possible spread across Asia of whatever China is dealing with. The John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour kicked off today. Scouts in the eastern leg converged in Columbus, Ohio, while western leg scouts met in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The two legs will link up on Thursday evening in Ottawa, Minnesota, when final results are tallied and reported. The U.S. Grain Council's sixth International Biotechnology Information Conference began today in St. Louis. Grains Council spokesperson Gretchen Flanley.
I think it's important for regulators from countries that import U.S. grains to have that firsthand experience that they're able to get here in the U.S., from the development of the technology to how producers use it, how it's handled within the grain handling system through the export markets.
The conference continues through Friday. A United Kingdom environmental group suggests that biofuels may be more harmful than fossil fuels when it comes to climate change. The World Land Trust reports that plants over their lifetime do not absorb the same amount of carbon as they emit when used as a fuel. Japan has instituted a new simultaneous buy-and-sell system for bulk durum wheat imports, and that has U.S. producers on edge to see if sales will pick up. Jim Peterson is marketing director for the North Dakota Wheat Commission. He says the U.S. can gain on Canada.
To get, you know, the optional origin on there. Before it was simply, you know, they would just specify for a Canadian durum, and we couldn't really even, you know, get our foot in the door. We've done a number of sample exchanges. You know, we've hosted some technical visits from the Japanese trade groups, and Canadian durum quality versus U.S., obviously they haven't had a lot of experience with U.S. That's still an issue, you know, till they get some of the first shipments in of U.S., they're a little skeptical on. And so that's a hurdle that we're trying to overcome.
Japan says it will tender for up to 31,000 metric tons of durum wheat from an option origin destination on Thursday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Join us tomorrow for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana. Registration at 10:30 a.m. Central. That's 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Lunch to follow, and then the meeting throughout the afternoon. The folks at Risk Management Commodities are sponsoring the meeting. In addition to the WILO panel, they'll be presenting a lot of good macro and micro information on the marketplace. There's a $20 fee for this meeting, and you can reserve your spot by calling 866-837-9027. Among the panelists tomorrow, Chuck Shelby and Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities, as well as Steve Erdman of EFG in Chicago. That's at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana. Registration beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern. We hope to see you there. Scientists are searching the germplasm libraries for genetic code that could keep corn and soybeans yielding under increased CO2 and ozone levels in the future. Todd Gleason has more.
The Earth's atmosphere is changing over the Midwest. It contains and will continue to build higher levels of ozone and carbon dioxide. University of Illinois professor of crop sciences and plant biology Stephen Long says this means it will be necessary to comb the corn and soybean germplasm libraries for genetic variations in the two crops that are well suited for the future atmospheric conditions.
What we should bear in mind is, from theory and indeed in chambers, we can get a much bigger response to CO2. So it does act as a fertilizer, given that most agencies agree that whatever we do now, by the year 2050, we're going to be in a higher CO2 concentration than today. That should boost crop yields. We are finding a boost, but it's not as big as it should be. So we've been running this experiment with soybean now for 5 years. We're now really moving into the second phase, trying to understand how can we get that full boost that we should get. So we're looking at different germplasm lines. We're trying to understand why the plant is not responding as fully as it should. The other aspect, of course, with the ozone is detrimental. So what we really want is a soybean which responds strongly to CO2 and is not affected by ozone. So the other side of this is we're looking at germplasm that can resist the ozone. We're trying to find out the mechanisms of damage and seeing how we can engineer the plant to try and avoid this damage.
The Midwest is not a place most tied to increased ozone levels. That's not really the case, and it's a big concern for Stephen Long.
I should perhaps also add that ozone may be very critical to us in this area, because while carbon dioxide is rising throughout the globe, ozone is only rising in specific areas. It's rising in the Midwest, it's rising in Western Europe, it's rising in China, but it is not rising in South America. So South American growers do not have to worry about ozone, and we do.
Ozone is a short-lived gas, says Long, but it can travel thousands of miles. The Midwest is the dumping ground for some of the nitrous oxide produced on the west coast of the United States. That nitrous oxide reacts with sunlight and ozone's formed. Long and other researchers are working diligently to find genetic variations in corn and soybeans that are capable of using the, quote, fertilizer in carbon dioxide and resistant to the detrimental impact of ozone. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Carolyn White of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Carolyn.
Good afternoon, sir.
Believe it or not, I've been talking to some producers in the last week or two that still have old crop corn to price.
Old crop corn to price.
And they were in an area where we looked at elevator bids, and we thought, well, given the carry in the market and the elevator bid, you just turn that around into new crop corn. Will that work for your bids?
Well, for us, if we're, you know, we're going to take on a new flat rate on September 1, and that's why our bids are structured as they are to accommodate the carry. But our DP or storage rate would take care of that pretty much right off the bat. So, I mean, I think it probably would not work. Mm-hmm. I guess I would not advise a guy to roll that.
So what are they going to do if they got old crop in their bin in this area and they need to do something with it?
Yes, they do. I probably would get it sold, I think. Let's hope that they've got some new crop sold at good levels.
Mm-hmm. All right. Has your phone been ringing today?
It's been kind of a busy day. I am the only one in the office today. The guys are all in a meeting, and I drew the short straw, so I'm manning the office. But it's been busy for a one-person show today.
What have they been talking about to you?
Guys are just wanting to know rain, what rainfall has been, what we anticipate the report at 3 o'clock to say, and just basically just checking on markets.
Is the crop made, in your opinion, here in Illinois?
I think the corn crop, yes, is pretty much made now. I think we, you know, if we can get some good, and we've had a lot of rain here in this last week and weekend. But usually it's all about August rains, what our soybean yields end up being. So the rain for August is good. But, yeah, I think the corn crop is pretty much made. I think we'll see ratings maybe today in corn, you know, maybe just about the same as what they were, or maybe even, you know, we begin to deteriorate a little bit this time of year. But I think we'll see maybe a little higher rating for soybeans.
Your bids today?
Cash corn, we are 319. New crop, 312. January corn, 346. Soybeans for cash, 758. New crop, 768. January beans, 802. And cash wheat out of DP would be 611. And for July 08, 538.
Thank you, Carolyn.
You bet.
Carolyn White of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A lawsuit to be filed this afternoon accuses the city of Champaign of illegally entering an annexation agreement for a new water treatment plant. Two neighbors to the proposed plant site west of the city limits claim the city council didn't hear their objections and engaged in what's called spot zoning, rezoning a lot in conflict with other nearby uses. It also claims the city and Illinois American Water didn't properly interpret a Supreme Court decision that gives Illinois cities the ability to zone property just outside its borders. City Attorney Fred Stavins defends the city's actions. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says a bill in Congress would clear the way for more Iraq war veterans to receive treatment for brain-related injuries. This morning, the Democrat visited a Champaign veteran who suffered a brain injury but initially had trouble with the VA to get proper care. Durbin says the so-called Wounded Warriors Act has support from both sides of the political aisle. It would create a baseline evaluation for soldiers going into combat, followed by more monitoring once they get back home. Experts say Indiana is one of the highest foreclosure rates in the nation. They say local economic problems and manufacturing job losses have contributed significantly to homeowners' struggles. A consumer credit counselor says homebuyers need to be smart about what they can afford. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials say they don't think deported illegal immigrant Elvira Arellano is a martyr. Jim Hayes is the agency's director in Los Angeles, where Arellano was arrested yesterday. He says Arellano was a criminal fugitive who was in violation of the law. Arellano and her 8-year-old son, Saul, who is a citizen, had lived in a Chicago church for a year to avoid being separated. A rally this morning outside the Chicago Immigration Office protested the arrest. It's gotten even harder for teen drivers to get their licenses in Illinois. Governor Al Blagojevich has signed a new law that ups the amount of adult supervision time that teens need from 3 months to 9. Last summer, Blagojevich signed a law that immediately doubled the amount of required driving practice time that teens need to 50 hours from 25. Representative John D'Amico is one of the chief sponsors and a football coach. He says practice makes perfect for both student athletes and teen drivers. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, we're hearing rumors, and maybe you can put us in the know, that the western Corn Belt in places is actually becoming too wet.
Well, in certain areas of the Corn Belt, certainly the rainfall over the past several days has been tremendous. And in places such as southeastern Minnesota, extending into southwestern Wisconsin, northeastern Iowa, we've seen totals as much as 5, 6, 7, 8, even over 10 inches in several counties across that zone of the western Corn Belt. And certainly it's been an interesting change of the situation over the past several weeks as we've gone from really dry conditions up across those northern areas to now saturated fields and waterlogged areas. Just a matter of a few weeks. And overall here, it looks like more rain is on the way here for the northern sections of the Corn Belt as we see this active period continuing really all of this week.
A couple more waves of rain, it looks like, if I'm looking at these charts correctly, and by the time it's all said and done, boy, talk about the rain over there.
Yeah, it looks like several upper-level disturbances will be riding along this frontal boundary position across the northern and western areas of the Midwest. And as a result here, we could see additional 1, 2, 3, even 4 to 5 inches of rain in some of your northern sections of the Midwest, especially the area or the kind of the epicenter here of your heaviest totals looks to be across Iowa and southern Minnesota.
Meanwhile, the southern part of the Corn Belt much more erratic in the rain, it looks like.
Exactly, Dave, and it's not a bone-dry pattern for the southern half of the belt, but certainly rainfall is limited, and overall coverage is minimal over this week, which is a very similar pattern as what the southern half of the belt has been in over the past several weeks. I guess the one difference, though, is temperatures won't be quite as hot as what we've seen over the past couple weeks with numerous hundreds. Temperatures will be above normal, but you'll just have more numerous 90s rather than areas over the century mark.
No, 80s and lower 90s enough to make the ground lose its moisture, I suppose.
Exactly. Those temperatures still for this time of year running about 10 degrees above the normals.
Where are you keeping an eye on globally these days?
Well, Dave, the area that we're focusing on is actually the southern hemisphere and parts of Australia. We do have some dry pockets, mainly in the northwestern areas of the western wheat belt in Australia. That area needs rain here over the next several weeks, or else yield potential will decline. I guess more importantly, though, is the Argentina wheat belt, which has had a very, very dry winter. And overall, your soil moisture conditions for winter wheat are very poor at this stage of the game, and there's simply no sign of that turning around here as we go through the end of August.
Oh, so another week or more maybe of dry conditions there?
Yeah, we think so, Dave. And initially, this is an issue for winter wheat across the region, but we're going to have to keep an eye on that for corn and soybean planting once we get to later in October, November. If we don't see any kind of turnaround in the soil moisture conditions, then we could talk about, then we could potentially be talking about dryness issues here during planting of corn and beans in the southern hemisphere.
Thank you much, Mark.
My pleasure, Dave.
Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, cash grain report, and agricultural weather on the web. We are at WILLAG.org. Click on the audio link. This is Dave Dickey.